So far this year, we've actually looked at Israel a little bit, and today we're going to revisit Israel in the Exodus just briefly. But to start, I want to invite everyone to think about leaving things behind. When you leave something behind and you go to a new place, or maybe it's you leave a friend group, I imagine everyone here has done that at some point. You're in college at SDSU, so unless you're a true Brookings resident, a Brookingite? I don't know. That's not it. But unless you're really from here, you've physically moved on from somewhere. But today we're going to look at leaving things behind, leaving something behind, some people behind, or feelings and emotions, hurts and wounds. And we're going to look at both sides. We're going to look at the idea of stepping into new things and leaving good community and life behind, but also how we need to leave behind our wounding and our sin and our hurts. So thinking about that, I just realized I printed off the wrong note sheet. That's okay. I can follow along because I know the verses. I was like, we are not, that doesn't make any sense. It's because I'm in the wrong book. Guys, this is embarrassing. I do have the right one. I just had it in there from last time. Yeah, praise Jesus. I was like, all right, this one's going to go a little hairy. Nope, the Lord provides. Okay, good. Whew. So, in Luke, Luke 9 is a giant book. It's like 62 verses. And at the very end of it, starting at verse 57, we see this story where Jesus is talking to people, and it's the cost of following Jesus. And it says this, we're going to focus in on verse 62, but I'll read the whole thing. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And that verse really struck me. No one who looks back, I don't know about putting the hand to the plow, but I can imagine, putting the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And he's not saying, Jesus isn't saying family's not valuable. He's not saying abandon all your friends when you go somewhere new and never call them again. It's not saying, hey, when your mom's left 4 messages, don't call her back, because trust me, I need to call my mom more. I don't know about you guys. But the idea that he's getting at is that when Jesus asks you to do something, we're called to do it. We're called to step into the unknown, and we're called to follow him. And a lot of the time, I think that means leaving behind something good. Like in this situation, he's like, oh yeah, just let me go, like, give my mom a hug, let me do this. And we know in the Old Testament, I think it's Elijah, he like goes back and says goodbye and like settles some stuff up. But Jesus is saying, no, you need to push forward into the kingdom. And I think the tendency that we happen to have sometimes is that we go back and we retreat, and maybe it's because there's a hesitancy in us. I don't know what it is. But I think in life, we need to remember that when Jesus asks us to follow, we need to be there. That as Christ followers, we're called to follow him wherever he goes and he has instructed us to go. And I was praying this week about the message, and I had this really vivid picture. So the first part is an addition to this image that I had in my head. So it's that if the image that I had is the foggy part, so we'll get to that. But it's like if you're on a beach. Who doesn't? Everybody likes beaches, right? I love beaches. It's so nice. It's like sunny. We're talking like crystal clear water. All your friends are there, so you get to have a ton of fun. You got like you're grilling. It's like the best, right? Throwing the football around, frisbee, making sandcastles. I love sandcastles. And it's just a nice place to be. And I'm not saying God doesn't want you in nice places, so let's not think that. But it's a good place to be, right? This beach. But then off in the distance a little bit, you see this like rowboat coming in. And there's fog up there, and you're like, I thought it was a clear day out, and then you see some fog. And you get rowboated out to this ship, and it looks like the Black Pearl for some reason. So I was praying, and this came to my head. I'm standing on a boat that looks like an old sea ship, like a pirate ship or just like a crazy sweet, like wooden one. And Jesus is running the ship, right? But you've had to leave behind all of the people on the beach. And so I was thinking about this idea that sometimes we get called to go somewhere that's uncomfortable, that's unknown, that we don't know anything, that we don't know what's going on. But we're called to step into something new. We're called by Jesus, and so we have to go. Because staying on the beach would be sinful. And so I don't know about you guys. And then this is what came to me when I was praying, was that a lot of the time, I'm like, okay, I think I'm kind of running this boat. And then you're like, okay, no, Jesus is running my life. I've surrendered to him. And you start to acknowledge that because sometimes we want to regain control when it's really foggy and we can't see anything. But a lot of the time, good Christians will have like a course correction moment where they're like, oh, for the last week, I've done that so many times. The last week, I've been trying to control everything and I need to release it to Jesus. I need his peace. And then he like washes his peace over you and it feels good. But the part that I sometimes assume is going to happen that often doesn't is that when you're like, okay, Jesus, here's this peace moment. Okay, let me take a breath. And then you open your eyes again, and you're like, oh, I expect to see clear waters ahead, and I know God's like, here's what's going to happen in your life. This is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and I'm gonna let you know all that's coming. But in reality, often we open our eyes, and it's still insanely foggy. We don't know what lies ahead. But we have to trust Jesus. And if he is running the ship, we have to stand on the boat. I can stop with this boat metaphor. You guys get it. But we have to stand on the boat and say, I can't see anything, but I know that Jesus is in charge. So moving forward into new things. And I said we were going to talk about Israel. So Israel that we talked about a couple weeks ago and the week before that, they were being fruitful and multiplying. They were following what God wanted them to do. And then God was going to deliver them. Moses came. And then the part that we missed that probably most people know is Moses goes and talks to Pharaoh and all these plagues come. And then he lets the Israelites go and they are off to the races. But then Pharaoh decides he wants them back. They start crossing the Red Sea. Moses parts the Red Sea. They start crossing it. And then all of Pharaoh's people get drowned in the Red Sea. It like closes in on them. And so here's a verse from Isaiah that is talking about that very event. And it says this, Isaiah 43, 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses and the army the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. This is 18 and 19 are really important. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And not only does this get at the Israelite story about how he's going to provide in the wilderness, and he brought in the seas over the Egyptians. He says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm bringing you into a new place. And what we see in Exodus is that the Israelites start complaining. They're like, oh, it was so much better being a slave at Pharaoh's. At least we had food. We didn't have to eat this. Like, and then they even start complaining. God provides food from the sky. And they start complaining. They're like, oh, we eat the same thing every day now. It's like, how many times does God have to provide for you? For you to trust him. There's going to be a time in everyone's life here where you have to step into something new. Where you have to step into the unknown, where it's going to be foggy, where it's going to feel like you're in the wilderness, and you have to trust Jesus, following his direction, not looking back and bemoaning all of the good things that came before, but pressing forward, trusting that God will provide. And I'm not saying that's not going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. But that's why we get connected with a body, where we don't do life on our own. That's the place that the enemy wants to trap us in, is thinking that we're isolated and on our own and that we don't have any help, both from God and from people. And I think a lot of the time when we're pushing into that unknown, sometimes it's really fun. And when you're our age, I'm going to put myself in our age. I'm still in my 20s for a brief moment here. Not like midnight tonight. It's coming up. and when we're younger, it's a lot more exciting to go into the unknown. It's a lot more exciting to start a new adventure. But even I find even myself, I find times where I'm like, I don't want to change things. I don't want to do something new. It's really hard. And like, this is pretty applicable for me right now, but it's going to be applicable for everyone. Whether you're graduating this year or in the maximum you're graduating now, unless you're on the nice plan where you're doing extra time or you're going to do a master's, is like probably like 3.5 years from now, less than that at the max. So we're all going to be pushing into new things. And we need to be sure that when Jesus directs us and we're seeking him, that we listen, but that we also trust him. And I think there's a bunch of stuff that can keep us from trusting him fully. Or that when we're pushing into that unknown territory, when we're pushing into the new thing, that God isn't going to limit us, but we limit ourselves by not releasing the sins, the hurts, and the shames that we've not fully let go of. Paul says this in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying he's not holding on to the things of his past. He doesn't forget. He even uses his testimony elsewhere. So it's not that he's like totally forgotten. He's like, I have amnesia about my life before Jesus. I don't even know what I did. How did I get this way? How come people say I killed people at one point? He's not pretending that. But what he's saying is he left it behind him so that he can push on into kingdom, so that he can push on into pushing forward the cause of Christ. And I know in my own life, there have been a lot of times where I have not, or I've had to readdress something I thought I had been like free of. Where I thought I had sought forgiveness in an area, and I was forgiven, but I hadn't sought healing. I hadn't totally let go of what the enemy had been trying to do in my life. Yes, I knew I was forgiven. Yes, I knew to trust Jesus. But it's almost like there were like shackles around my feet and a ball, like one of those, like, you know, you can't move around. Like, that's what it's like when trying to do kingdom advances without seeking healing and restoration in Christ. Where we ask for forgiveness, but we don't actually like fully embrace what forgiveness means. Paul knew what it was to embrace that by saying, I've forgotten it. That's what it feels like. It's like this freedom from it where it's like, oh, it's like it didn't exist. It's like that's not a part of me anymore. I know it's who I was. It's not who I am. And I think there's two elements involved, or two major items when we want that freedom. It's seeking forgiveness and being a forgiver. Both are challenging. I was trying to determine which one's harder. They're both really, really hard. John says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins before the Lord, if we say, Jesus, you are my Savior, you died on the cross for me, and you defeated that death, and you took on, like, he literally took on all those sins, and it's like he's like, okay, I'm burying them. If you release them, they are gone. And then he defeated them and rose again so that we might have this newness of life, a fullness of life, so that the Holy Spirit might live in us and that we might be made new, so that we might have a full life here and now, and also a full, like, the craziest, awesome life in heaven for eternity. But we need to seek forgiveness. And I know there are times where it's like, oh yeah, I'm a pastor. No, I don't have everything together. Sometimes I'll be in prayer, or sometimes I'll hear a sermon, and I'll be like, oh, I need to message that person and tell them, like, ask them forgiveness. I had one time, I think it was four or five years ago, it was before I moved here, and I don't even remember what happened. I was reading my Bible and praying, and I had to message my ex-girlfriend from like 4 years before that, or 3 years before that, and ask her forgiveness for being a selfish and unattentive boyfriend for a lot of the time that we were dating. And we dated for almost just under 2 years. And I was like, ah, God, I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. And he's like, no, you do. Do you want to carry that ball? And he's like, there's a lot more to deal with, and there's still going to be more. but do you want freedom in that aspect of your life? And I said, yeah. And so I messaged her, and she was receptive, and I just knew it was the right thing to do, but it was not easy. There are times we need to seek forgiveness from people. We need to seek forgiveness from God, obviously. And there's going to be times where we need to just go before the Lord and ask him, what are some areas that I need to work on, God? I need to push into, or maybe there's something in you that the enemy has been working at. That he's getting you when you're down or vulnerable or busy, or maybe school's really hard, so you're stressed out. Because that's how he works. The more we push into trying to seek God, or the more that we leave God out of our life, I find he works really hard when we give him an in, when we have been like not attentive to our relationship, or he tries really hard to prevent us from taking ground forward and releasing some of that weight that we've been carrying. And I don't know what it is that you need to seek forgiveness from. I don't know. I know there's probably more stuff I need to. Not because you're not forgiven already and then you're not going to heaven because of it, but that it's so that you can carry on more fully into the life that Jesus has for you. Maybe there's an addiction that you need to seek forgiveness from. Maybe it's something that you've done, and maybe you've lied or cheated or stole. Like, I could just ring off a ton of things, right? Maybe you've hurt someone's feelings, or maybe you've wronged someone in relationship, whether friendship or boyfriend, girlfriend. Forgiveness is hard to do, but we need to be seeking it. And then the other side of that I think sometimes is actually where the enemy might work even more so. Because like at some level, it's like, okay, this part's on me. I need to, I did this wrong thing. I feel bad about it. Like, we can come to those terms. Not always easy. But forgiving other people who have wronged us. It says in Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And in Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I started thinking about this idea that, like, people who I need to forgive and that I've had to ask forgiveness from. And then it's one of those things where it's you're like, oh, they really hurt me. I don't want to do it. And I've dealt with some decent level of having to forgive, but I'm sure some of you have endured so much more hurt from other people, from what they've said to you or what they've done to you. And I'm not trying to make light of that at all. But I know that there's crazy level of freedom on the other side of that forgiveness. It's not always going to look the same. You're not always going to go to the person in person and ask for forgiveness. There's going to be times where you might just say, God, I forgive them, or God, I want to forgive this person. Help me to forgive them more fully. But I know I've had friends and family that I've seen come on the other side of forgiving people who have wronged them, who have abused them or harmed them, whether physically or emotionally, and I know that there's a freedom that they had in the post that wasn't there before. We need to be people that seek to forgive and ask forgiveness. And in doing so, when we start to release that, God will start to unveil to us things in the fog. I totally believe that. And even if we don't, when things come up, when we don't know what's going on, because we don't have those shackles and those chains and that weight, we have more freedom for kingdom advances. I think part of what Paul is saying when he says that he pushes on forward, that he presses on towards the goal to win the prize, you can run a lot faster when you're not carrying weight. And I totally think that there's something that Jesus does in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls to push us forward, to give us more freedom, or maybe just make us more attentive because we've released that hurt, that sorrow, that shame. Because we've released that addiction, that problem, that issue. Or we've said sorry to that person and sought forgiveness. I had this crazy dream this week. And I'm still sorting out what it means, but I know it means that there's something in my life that I need to work out a little more. But I was driving my parents' car. And if you guys have interpretations, I'm open to them after. I have some ideas, but not the whole thing. I was driving my parents' car. It's a 2003 Honda Accord two-door. It's not important. And I drove it to this mall. And it was in a parking garage. And I saw two people, and I didn't feel great about the car being where it was because I was like, oh, maybe they're sketchy. And so then I got back in the car, and I moved it to somewhere else in the parking garage. So it was, like, further away. And so then go into the, I don't remember the mall part. I come back from the mall, and there's two people, not the same two people, two different people, in the car rummaging around. And one of them has a gun. And I'm like, oh, and I ran back into the mall. And I don't remember how long it was. But I didn't call the police for some reason. And the gun was gold, too. Real weird. I run back into the mall, and I'm in there for a while, and I come back out, and I come up to the car, and the two guys are asleep in my parents' car, like full on, like snoring and everything. And then I open the car, and the gun's on the seat, and I pick up the gun, and I don't point it at them. I put it in my pants. I remember putting it in my pocket, and I had different pants on this because it wouldn't fit in this pocket. I had a pair of Under Armour joggers. Not important either. But they got out, and they knew I had their gun, and they got out, and one of the guys was totally, like kind of mad and, like, whatever, and just kind of despondent, which was weird. And then the other guy was saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he was like crying and he was like, I can't go to jail. I can't. And I think he said he had like kids. And I was like, oh man. And I just said, okay, you guys can go. And the two dudes ran off, and around the corner they left a couple of my things by this fence. I don't remember know what that means. But one thing I know is that when we're seeking and we're pushing into it, and like I was pushing into this topic this week, the forgiveness, I know that God's grace is so much bigger than anything that the enemy wants to isolate us in. And that in that moment when I forgave them, it felt like it was just like God was like, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And then I was like, yeah, just go. You're free. I'm not holding it against you. And I think in me, there's something that I'm holding against someone or something. I don't know what it is that I really need to release to God. That I need to be more gracious with people. That I need to be more merciful. Before seeking justice, I want to be merciful. And the only reason I tell you that is that I'm in this with you. The thing I would charge you guys to do during prayer time today as a start, but probably throughout this next week or maybe the whole semester, is to be asking God two things. Where do I need to seek forgiveness so that I might seek healing? And who is someone that I need to forgive? It can be something big or it can be something small. And the big ones are going to be hard. If you guys want any support, I am here all week. I'll work here. I'd love to chat. If you guys want to be prayed for afterwards, we would love to pray for you. There's going to be a bunch of people in the back after, during the songs and during the prayer time, and then after Oasis in the chapel. Please be prayed for. Whether you're seeking forgiveness or want to forgive and need some support or strength, share with people. We're in this together. And when we're pushing into that new territory, when we're going into a new thing, even though we might be leaving good stuff behind, when we've done the work to seek forgiveness and also to forgive, there's going to be a mobility and a freedom you have at the spiritual level that you might not have had otherwise. The enemy's going to be grasping and grasping, and he will not be able to take hold. And if anyone wants to know more about following Jesus or you want to recommit, please talk to the people in the back or come talk to me. We would love to talk with you and to help you to push into the amazing freedom that comes with living a life that lives into God's grace, that steps into life knowing that when God says you're forgiven, it's forever. It's gone. It's washed clean. As far as the east is from the west, it's not in sight for God. He doesn't hold it against you. Don't hold it against yourselves. And don't hold it against others. Let's pray. God, you are so good. God, you are our love. And God, we pray that your love would cover this place. God, that you would move here and now, that you would touch our hearts. And God, where we need to seek you, where we need to give over our struggles, where we need to give over our sins, God, we pray that we would have the courage to step forward and to confess our sins before you. And God, we also pray, God, I pray for the Holy Spirit to be working here and now, that your grace would abound in the hearts of those who have been harmed. God, for the hearts of those who have been mistreated, who have been lied to, who have been cheated on. God, we pray that you would move here and now, and that in the same way that we take in your forgiveness, and we sense that grace and we know your grace, God, that we would be gracious in forgiving and in kind. God, we pray for a great freedom to come through that forgiveness. God, I know this is hard. God, I know you know how hard it is to forgive. But God, let us model you, your great forgiveness. God, I pray for freedom to abound in this place. And that God, when we are in the fog, that we would feel free in the fog because we know you are in charge. And that when things come our way, when life happens, God, that we would sense where you are moving and where you are taking us. God, we love you. God, I pray for courage and for grace and for love to fill each and every heart and mind. We love you, God. We thank you for everything, and we thank you for freedom found through Jesus. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.